Oh, we're going to have a wonderful, wonderful night. The Spirit of the Lord is already here, and I just know that there's going to be some wonderful opportunities. So, as we've been saying all along, you know, when you turn things on in terms of the Holy Spirit is always available and always wanting to give us so much more. And as we get more comfortable with Him, He does more, and He uses us more, and wonderful results happen. We're going to go ahead and get started. Tonight, we're going to do actually part two of prophecy. And we're not going to be able to review a lot of what was said last week, but we'll touch on it a couple. I'll mention a few things. And you may want to listen to the teaching online or talk to somebody who was here and get their notes. But we want to take a few minutes to answer questions. Some of you have actually filled out one of the little index cards, and I think it's important that we answer some of these questions because they pertain to some things that we've taught, and we may need to explain a few things. Like, one of them has to do with, some insist that speaking in tongues should only be an expression of private praise and prayer during their devotional time. Tongues in the corporate assembly must be intelligible or interpreted for the sake of others who are listening. There is confusion on this. Why does ALCC members pray in tongues openly? Well, because when it comes to speaking in other tongues, and as I said before, we have many things to say in these sessions, but we only have an hour together. When a person speaks in tongues, there are two types of tongues that can occur. The first one is private prayer, so you're speaking to God. You can speak mysteries. In other words, you are not giving a message to anyone. So if I were to say right now, let's all stand up and let's just praise God in English. Now, is that something that we all can do together? So whenever at Abundant Life we say, let's begin to pray in other tongues, we're not saying, let's give a message. Because in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 2, it says that a person can pray and pray in other tongues, and they're speaking mysteries to God. They're not giving a message. But whenever the tongue is not towards God or for your benefit, edification, 1 Corinthians 14, I think it's verse 4, when it's for the purpose of another person, to bless another person, there must always be understanding in the language of the hearer. At the same time that I say that, I'm going to throw a little curveball. On the day of Pentecost, nobody was interpreting the tongue. But there were people there who understood it because they heard the tongue in their language. So whenever it's a message or for someone to understand, it's a whole different realm. Then it's a public tongue. So whenever tongue is in public for a message, there has to be understanding, interpretation, diverse tongues, interpretation. But if it's just praying, the Bible says that you can give thanks well. So if I just said, you know, right now, let's just practice right now. If those of you who already pray in other tongues, again, notice I said pray, not give a message. Let's just do it. Ready? All right, stop. Okay? You have control. It's not like, oh my God, the Spirit of God took hold of you. When you can begin to pray, you can pray to God anytime. People can pray in tongues while they're driving and so forth. So hopefully that helps answer the question. We're not giving a message for anyone to understand. We're talking to God. Can one pray in the Spirit silently, or does it have to be out loud, as I have been told? I believe that, and I've read a lot about that, I believe it is meant to exercise your tongue. Okay, so notice that is speaking in other tongues. When you're silent, you're not using your tongue. All right? And so there is something about yielding your mouth. Now, that does not mean, I think there's some benefit. You know, there are times when I'm like, I can almost hear it in my heart, and I know where it's coming from, because the Holy Spirit is always going to try to communicate with you in a way that you can understand. And you can, because tongues is initiated in your spirit, all right, in the center of your being, out of your belly shall flow. So it is possible, but you want to release it. It's sort of like water stuck. You know what I mean? You turn it, toss it. It's there, but it's frozen, or it's not moving. It's not flowing. So when you use your tongue, it releases it a greater measure, a greater level of it. So I believe it is meant to be spoken, all right? I don't want to say a whole lot of that, but if you still need information, you can write another question. I don't know if I can interpret, but there are times when I speak in tongues and it's like something on the inside allows me to speak in English. I feel in my spirit it's interpretation, but I'm not sure. I spoke in tongues praying with someone and spoke, and they said it was a confirmation. Yeah, listen, we learn about our gifts in a couple of ways. One of the best ways to learn about your gifts is to be in an environment where gifts are used. Because it doesn't happen when you're home and hoping that God will use you, because the gift is always for someone else. There are things that operate in your own life for your own personal benefit, but when it comes to the gifts of the Spirit, as if you were to study them out, the gifts are never for you. They're always for others. So whenever you're in an environment where people are there, you're serving, God wants to use the gift to bless other people. So it will automatically create an environment for that gift to be stirred up. And if you're with people who have the same gift, it will just, the law of connection and association will actually stir up your own gift. And you'll watch and you'll learn. It's just like, for example, my children, I think I shared this several weeks ago. My children began to speak in tongues when they were little. I was shocked. I didn't think it was possible. But you know why? Mom and dad spoke in tongues while vacuuming. And so they just began. I mean, they didn't understand. They couldn't read the Bible. They couldn't tell you what they were doing, because it was in the environment. And if you were raised in an environment, or you grew up in, or you went to a church where they didn't practice the gifts, or they had a lot of questions about the gifts, you're going to have more questions. But if it's like, oh, this is what we do, you just kind of move into that realm. It becomes very easy. And that's why if you are environments where it's comfortable and the Holy Spirit is welcome and invited, you're going to see a lot more gifts, a lot more expressions of the gifts of the Spirit, more miracles, healing. I mean, there are environments where people get healed all the time. I'm talking about not the kind of healing we're thinking, well, you know, they had a cold. I'm talking about, I've been in environments where, I mean, metal disappears. Amen. Literally, where the screws, the hip surgery, all of a sudden, they can't even feel it. They're completely healed. Where cancer, tumors, and I know you may think, gee, really? Yeah. Yeah, there are environments where healing is very common, where there are groups and churches where, I'm telling you, I mean, they're healing. People get healed while worshiping, yes, without the laying on of hands, yes, okay? Now, we'll talk about it, because we have some strengths at Abundant Life, because our pastor, Pastor John Carter, is both a pastor, a teacher, and a prophet. And so some of the things from him, you know, from the head down. So I just wanted to just say that to you. But if you have, when it comes to these gifts, yeah, begin to take risks. And you're going to make mistakes, and we have to permit and allow for mistakes to be made. And you learn by making mistakes. And so regarding this person, I would say when a diverse tongue, meaning a message, because you don't need the interpretation to give it to someone else. Now, we can also pray for our own personal tongue, to be interpreted our own personal tongue. And I, again, because of time, I can't spend time, a lot of time on that. But yeah, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, pray that you might interpret. When you pray in tongues for a long time about decisions, let's say you need to make a decision. The Bible says we do not know what to pray for as we ought in Romans chapter 8. But the Spirit comes alongside and helps us to pray, right? And so you might be praying in tongues. You can focus your tongue on a particular thing. Don't wait until the pastor says, let's pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues at home, you know. Now, there's also, you know, if your mind is always active when you pray in tongues, that's fine, because the Holy Spirit is giving you the words. God has made it easy for us to pray.
Yes.
But at the same time, if you always are driving, always doing things when you pray in tongues, you might want to learn what it's like to quiet your mind. Yes. Because sometimes while you're speaking in tongues, many times the Holy Spirit will bring things to your mind, mm-hmm, that you need. But you're so busy driving, thinking, you know, of something to do. So there are a lot of things that we could say, and we need to teach everyone about what to do after they're baptized with the Holy Spirit. And but we want to move forward. But I do want to say to this person, when a diverse tongue is given in the public assembly or in a prayer meeting or anywhere, if you have the gift, okay, and you're developed in the gift, you can be used in the gift. Let me say this very quickly. I believe there are three ways that gifts get activated, if you have them. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about prophecy. You can be used as the Spirit wills on occasion with any gift. If you are a believer, you can be used in any gift of the Spirit. Amen. As the Spirit wills, if the occasion presents itself and the Holy Spirit wants to use you and you're a candidate, you can be used in any gift. Workings of miracles, amen, special faith, gifts of healings. But there are people that have the gift as a steward possession. That means that if you have it, you can do it. Now, there are three ways. So let's say you have a gift. And there are three ways that it can be stirred up. The Holy Spirit can prompt you, give you a little urge that you need to give it forth. So you can cooperate with the Holy Spirit, you know, if you're sensitive, you know, there's a need for it. Or the Holy Spirit would like to demonstrate through you, use you, and it's appropriate and all the things are right. The Holy Spirit is the initiator and you give it forth. That's one way. The second is you can initiate it. You can do it if you have it. Amen. Now, you should do it with the supply of the Spirit. You should do it decently and in order. There are guidelines for everything. You should do it in love. All those things are there. But you can say, I see a need here. This person needs, I see this, let's say I have gifts of healings, one of the gifts. This person is sick. I don't always have to wait. Holy Spirit, should I, do I have to shake? I can say, you know what, I'd like to do that. Now, if the Holy Spirit says no, I'm teaching them to exercise their faith. They've already been prayed for and anointed with oil, and I'm healing them. You don't need to, but you can initiate, but always check with the Holy Spirit. Here's a third way. A person who needs your gift, yes, can initiate it from you, yes, without you knowing it. Yes. When you're walking around, Jesus, the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus was just walking, and all of a sudden she made a demand of power on him. Right. He even had to say, who touched me? So there are three ways. The Holy Spirit can initiate it. My earring, take it off. The Holy Spirit can initiate it. You can initiate it. And a person can initiate it. Just a quick example for those of you who need a Bible scripture on that. Moses had workings of miracles. Now, workings of miracles, and I don't want to get into all of it. I can feel the pull. Explain, but we got to talk about prophecy. Workings of miracles is when God wants to do something supernatural out of the norm of regular human experience, so to speak. But he will do the miracle by a work. Something has to be done through the person's hand, by an action. In order for the miracle, you got to work the miracle.
Yes.
So Moses noticed, just and say, what do you mean by that? Moses had workings of miracles. Whenever there was a miracle, what did he have to do? He had to do something. Raise his rod, raise his hand. He always had to do something. Throw a tree in the river to purify. There was always a work. He was working the miracle. If he didn't raise his rod, the waters would not part. But special faith just speaks, no work. It's more passive in its expression, but it's very powerful because the person has to have a strong faith. But Moses was given an instruction by the Lord, and he was used to, you know, hitting things and throwing things. And I mean, really, go read about all the plagues. There was always something they had to do. Every time Moses did anything, it was a work. But then one day, when they were in the wilderness, God told Moses, you see this rock? Hit the rock and water will come out. Now, what happened if he didn't hit the rock? There would be no water. So he hit the rock. And then there was another time, another occasion, where God was wanting to use Moses and, you know, as a great leader. He said, speak to the rock. You know that story. What did Moses do? He hit the rock. And what happened? Water still came out. He worked his gift. God wasn't happy. So you can initiate your gift out of order and not be in the will of God. Okay. I felt like somebody needed that. So yes, take risks in safe environment with people who love you and trust you. This one about a prophet, we're going to probably answer tonight. And then this kind of came, and I know it's important. Halloween, how should Christians approach this day? Only because we're not here next week. A, this person actually gave me a multiple choice. I love you. Love it. Teacher at heart. It's my language, all right? So A, take no part whatsoever. B, consider it as just another pagan holiday. C, celebrate with the light of Christ and refuse the darkness. D, other. All the above. Yeah. Halloween in its roots, and, you know, I don't want to get into it. And I brought article. I have four, so if four people want them, you can read that. Halloween night, should you turn your lights on? There are reasons why you should not participate in anything. If you come from the dark side, have operated in the dark side, know about the dark side, or afraid of the dark side, all kinds of things. But really, if you are going to open your door and share the gospel with Jesus Christ, then go ahead, turn the lights on. You know, I think there's a lot of things that we can talk about. Do what the Lord tells you to do, but you need to be informed. I think that's what I want to say. Halloween, in terms of its practices, is evil.
Amen.
Just go study, go read. If you only knew what happens during Halloween, you probably would think twice about it, and Reverend Leanne could probably tell you about it. We always turned our light off. Our kids always did something else. Took them to dinner, did something. We did not celebrate it. Matter of fact, I would tell the teacher, we're not dressing up. We're not celebrating fear. If my children cannot, you know, they're going to just, draw pumpkins, if you like, you know, in terms of harvest and fall, but you are not going to put them in a scary movie. You are not going to have them read scary books. We are not celebrating fear. We're not celebrating demons. That's just the way I chose to do that. But let me just, and again, I just feel like this is completely off topic, but it's important because somebody needs, or a couple of people need that. My children, I have a son who's 28, and my daughter, here's the thing, they learned about the reality of evil early on. And it has blessed me because I never had to tell them don't. They knew that there was a kingdom of darkness. They understood it. They weren't afraid. Now, when I did that, I taught them that light is always greater than darkness. But they learned about the reality of the kingdom of darkness, that we don't play with the devil.
Right.
We don't compromise with demons. We don't do that kind of stuff. Now, if you're a parent and you want to dress up, and just do the fairy tale thing, we're not against that. I'm not really against that. If you want to have a costume party, all I'm saying is that you need to understand where evil falls into play.
Yes.
And I just say, as Christians, you just need to be informed, okay?
Yes.
But for somebody who really needs to read a little bit more about that, I have a couple of articles here. I think we're going to move on. I have more things here, but I think we're going to move on. Now, you got your handout. Purpose of a handout is to make me talk faster, as fast as I can, and give as much information, because we want to do some things tonight. We started last week, and if you were not here, don't have the handout, please get it, because it talks about receiving prophecy, how to judge it, how to test it, what are the precautions about when you are the receiver of prophecy. And we talked about 8 to 10 things that you need to absolutely be aware of. We're going to review just a little bit of it, but I just want to let you know really important information. But let's talk about prophecy. What is it? Again, last week I talked about that. Prophecy means that you're speaking for another, if you can say that. That's probably the easiest way. God is using you, and the words and the message are not from you. You didn't think about it. You didn't say, I think she needs to hear this. They were initiated and born from God, and you're simply the instrument that God is using. Now, how you get the prophecy can be different. I might see it. I might sense it. I might feel it. There's all kinds of different ways that the Lord communicates what he wants to say through the person. I may get the prophecy for someone an hour before. It may not even happen in the moment. We're used to just like one way. Okay, let's just give it a, there are different ways. I don't want to get into that, but other than to say that you are simply cooperating and you are expressing it, okay? A prophecy or message can also be acted out. So we're specifically focusing on the speaking of words. And it's always in the language of the hearer, right? So you're not giving although we're going to talk about diverse tongues, interpretation equals prophecy in a minute. So who can prophesy? Who can do this? Well, Acts 2, 17, 18, we read it last week in New King James, but New Living Translation, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Notice males and females can prophesy. There are some denominations that feel like only men can prophesy. Give them Acts 2. Your young men shall see visions and your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I will pour out my spirit even on my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. Read that in any translation you want. I read about it 20 just to make sure. If you are born again and you have the Holy Spirit in you, you can prophesy. Period. 1 Corinthians 14, 39 to 40. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, now Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, be eager to prophesy. That means don't just be passive about it. You should desire it with longing and passion and excitement. Oh, God, I want to prophesy. That's how the gift begins to operate more often than not. You have to want it. You got to be hungry for the things of God. He says, be eager to prophesy and do not forbid speaking in tongues, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. 1 Corinthians 14, 1, again, this whole chapter. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Now, Paul, it's important to note that Paul was writing to the Corinthian church as a whole. So when he said desire to prophesy, he was speaking to the whole church. He wasn't, the letter wasn't sent to John Smith. But I believe it applies to both. It's the whole church. We should desire to see prophecy operating all the time in our services, in our meetings, in our times together, at lunch, dinner, we hang out together. It can happen. It needs to be happening all the time. But it can also happen, through you. You can desire it personally. Lord, use me. And we're going to talk about that. Last week, we talked about the threefold purpose of prophecy. Now, we're going to talk about the four levels of prophecy, which you will see after. But we have to talk about the primary purpose of prophecy, the simple prophecy. Prophecy in its most basic form has no prediction. There's nothing about the future, what God's going to do, and who did that in the past. I see this. I see a demon on you. If you're prophesying and you're just giving simple prophecy, in 1 Corinthians 14:3, this is review from last week, is for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and comfort to men, men and women. That's its purpose. So if, and last week I came up with some different things that people said, and we broke up into groups, and we had to decide, was that a prophecy or not? If a prophecy comes and you feel condemned, judged, you feel worse, bad, I mean, you feel like God hates you, it is not prophecy. It wasn't from God. If a prophecy comes that makes you want to run away from God and go serve other gods, that can't be from God, even if the person did miracles. We talked about all that last week. Again, receiving. So I don't have time. There's a lot of things that we said last week about receiving prophecy, how to judge it. All prophecies have to be judged. Somebody came up at the end last week and talked a little bit about that. And I need to let you know about the meaning of each of these words and not take things for granted. Edification. So if one of the purpose, and it could be a combination of purpose or any one of these three. Edification, build up, charge up, strengthen, improve, reinforce. An edifice is a building. If you were to go look in there, go online, an edifice is a building, but not just any building. It is a building that is large, massive, important, and imposing in appearance. It's some big skyscraper, some big thing. That's what an edifice is. So this word is a construction word. So think of what must happen to erect or construct a massive building or skyscraper. That's what happens when you prophesy and edification comes. That person will feel like, whew, built up. They will feel it. They will sense it. It won't be like, yeah, I feel exactly the same. If it's from the Lord, amen. Now I can say, hey, I hope you feel better. When it is prophecy, one of the things, the results, is a person will be edified. Yeah. They will feel better after you spoke to them, the word of the Lord. So it's an important thing. There are a lot of times, there are people complaining about today and the weather. They might need edification, from the Lord. Exhortation means to encourage, stir up, motivate, stimulate, influence, to boost someone. The best way to understand edification is to think of a good coach in a locker room or a bunch of cheerleaders on the sideline cheering their team. When the team is moving in the right direction and they're winning, keep doing it, okay? So God will use this gift of prophecy to exhort you when you're doing the right thing. They're going to be like, yeah, you actually feel good. Yeah, my team's cheering me on. The coach is saying, good job. Let's win. Come on, we haven't won yet. Let's keep going. You're doing great. But the gift will also encourage you. So think about if you are playing on a team and you didn't do well. You executed the play all wrong. You just big errors. You're failing, you're moving in the wrong direction. What will a coach do? A good coach, not the bad coach that yells at you and says, sit down, but they're like, hey, come on, what does the cheerleader do? They encourage you to turn around. Come on, we can do it. Make it better. So I want you to know, when I say encourage, sometimes a person is in sin and they're not following God, and the gift of exhortation will turn them around. Yeah. They'll be encouraged, like, what are you doing this for? This is not you. Get it right. So I want you to understand, think of a cheerleader or a good coach encouraging, whether it's somebody to keep doing what's right, turn and change the way you're doing it. Come on, you can do it. Okay, so I want you to think about it. That's what that person will feel like. They'll feel cheered on, encouraged boosted up to do what is right before the Lord. Amen. And then, of course, comfort means that that person will feel relieved. They'll actually feel a relief, something lift, a burden. They'll feel comforted. But the words also do more than just, you know, I understand. It's more than I understand. That person will feel that they're better able now to overcome or endure something that's necessary. Okay? So somebody's grieving and they're like falling apart. Now, they may, you know, grief is a necessary thing if you've had a death in your family. But, you know, but I'm saying that they will feel like somebody understands, cares, wrapping their arm around me. Okay, I can do this. I can for a moment remember something wonderful about this person instead of just, oh my God, what am I going to do? Everything's falling apart. There's just a relief, a comfort that comes. If a person, now, so I want you to know that. So you need to know these words because prophecy comes and sometimes we don't feel this way. Right there, that's a test. So if you feel condemned or if somebody now starts to tell you about the future, if I come and I say, I'm prophetess ABC, and you need to do what I, and the Lord shows me that you've been sinning, and you better do what I tell you, and you better give me $1,000 today so you can get your life together. I don't care if I did a miracle. That is not from God. Do you see what I'm saying? And the church has been deceived, yes, not in not knowing, and again, that you can read 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3. Okay. There are four levels of prophecy. Now we're really getting ready to talk about that, and then we're going to talk about giving prophecy. And we're going to demonstrate tonight, and we're going to give prophecies tonight as the Spirit will, because there are people with the gift. Amen. So we're just going to pull on them, okay? There are. This is very important. So there are four levels of prophecy. Turn to Revelations 19:10. Revelations 19, verse 10. And I probably could have put up the scriptures. I always get torn. As a teacher, you know, those of us who are teachers, I get torn. Sometimes we just make it so easy. I could have put it on the screen, but I want you to open it up and find it. There's something about it because when I leave a week from now, you'll be talking to someone. I'm already predicting something. I'm giving a prediction. You'll be talking to someone, did you know that this thing, you know, there's a first level of prophecies. You're like, where is that in the Bible? You'll remember Revelation 19. You remember, oh, yeah, it was that last book of the Bible. Okay, sometimes it's important to go find it and see it for yourself. I mean, I could mess up. Oh, you really believe everybody in here? Everything should be tested. Amen. Pastor John, me, or any teacher, we should test everything. Amen. How do you know I'm telling you the truth? Go check it out for yourself. So Revelation 19, the Apostle John is getting revelations in heaven about all these, many things. But in verse 19, we're just going to read that. Did I say 19 or 9? 19:10. I'm sorry, verse 10. And I fell at his feet. This was an angel. I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Okay? Now turn with me to 1 Corinthians 12:3. And I understand that even when we teach on these things, there will be questions. And we're doing our best to give you, you know, an introductory but a basic understanding about these things. But there will be questions. And I think that's good. If you leave these workshops and you got more questions, we have done our job. We want you to ask questions. We want you to be hungry for the things of God. We want you to stir things up and go look for yourself and say, I'm going to take a next class that we offer on this. And grow up in the things of God. All right, 1 Corinthians. That is not the right scripture. You know why? Because I'm in 2 Corinthians and I don't have my glasses. That would make a difference. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. There we go. Magnifying glass. Good. All right. It says, therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Those are some interesting things. That means the testimony of the genuine, by the Spirit, when the Spirit of God is using you to talk about Jesus, yes, that's the spirit of prophecy. Amen. Now, just giving a testimony of what Jesus did for you, how he saved you, you know, how wonderful he is you are being used in the spirit of prophecy. If somebody's like, oh, I want that Jesus. So everybody, can every believer be used in the spirit of prophecy? Everybody can prophesy at this level. But notice we're not necessarily giving edification necessarily. We're not trying to comfort. We're giving a testimony of Jesus. We're saying Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my King. Jesus is my Savior. This is what it says. No one can say Jesus is Lord, not by the Spirit. Now, there are people, you know, you can say all kinds of thoughts, but I'm talking about a genuine article and have effect. And have effect except by the Spirit of God. That's the spirit of prophecy. Let's go to the next level. Again, we can say a lot more. The gift of prophecy. Now, it's been found. I'm not going to read it. Romans 12:6 and 1 Corinthians 12:10. What is the gift? Now, it's different. Now, the gift of prophecy means now it's the Spirit of God is using you to speak words to someone for edification, exhortation, confession. So at this minimal level, or on this level, the main expression is the simple gift of prophecy. So if you have the gift, you have it. You're not just used on occasion, Lord, I'm available, use me once in a while. This is somebody, you have the gift. The gift is always for someone else. Remember, the gift is not for you. You cannot use the gift on yourself. That's why people can have gifts of healings and be sick. You have workings of miracles, but you can't perform the miracle. You got to have somebody else do it for you. So the gift is always, that's why the body needs each other. God made us dependent on purpose. So that's why when you don't show up and you don't use your gift, we suffer. We're lacking. So if you're a member of this church and you're like, yeah, I'm not coming, I just watch online. But we needed you that day. How do you know God wasn't going to use you for a word of exhortation in the lobby? We ought to come and say, Lord, here I am, use me. And also say, Lord, whoever I need, use them. That's the way we ought to be in the body. Everybody ought to be coming in a certain way, leaving excited and happy and filled. Like you fill up your car with great high-octane gas. You get taught, you get worship, and everybody's exhorting, encouraging, comforting each other. And man, I mean, the line should be lining up, right, on 481 coming in here. So the gift of prophecy, you could say, again, has no prediction. And I know that there was a question about, because last week I talked about when there was a prediction, it could be conditional, unconditional. Can't get to that. We may get to it later. But what I want to say to you is that the simple gift of prophecy is what is taught in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12. It's the simple gift of prophecy. When somebody is being used by God, though, and it goes beyond that, okay, now I'm giving a prediction, now I have information, I'm discerning, you know, spirits, and I'm giving interpretation, and it's from God. So I not only am exhorting and comforting, I'm adding stuff. The words are now saying more than what is normally said. What is that? It's prophecy with another gift, or another gift being used within the prophecy. I'm going to give examples. So let me say it again. So in other words, if prophecy is for the purpose, the words and what is said brings edification, exhortation, and comfort, that's it. When more words are given, and we're adding stuff with the prophecy. So God is using somebody to speak to you. And now they're telling you, I see you in 10 years, and I see the Lord telling you that, that, that. Well, that can't be the simple gift of prophecy all by itself. It's not predicting. I'm seeing into the future. Or I might say something, the Lord shows me something from your past. Or this sickness, the Lord shows me we got to cast out a demon because it's an oppression of the devil. That's more than just edification. Now we're giving a lot more information. What is that? Yes, it's prophecy with another gift or other gifts within the prophecy. So let me give you an example. Pastor John is used on a regular basis, consistently, comfortably in the gift of prophecy, all right? But he gets up on a Sunday morning or a particular, and he might actually say this. And the Lord has something to say, okay? And we're going to talk about what the difference between prophesying prophets and prophetess, there's a difference between them. He says, there's a young man in the service today who has a right shoulder tear that occurred this week from a motor vehicle accident. The doctors are planning to perform surgery in 2 weeks, but God loves you and wants you to know him as a healer. You will not need the surgery because God is healing you right now. You will feel a burning sensation on your right shoulder, and when you feel it, the Lord wants you to know, don't be concerned, it's him healing you. Now, what is that? Is it prophecy? Yes, with word of knowledge, word of wisdom, instruction, information. Don't, you know, there's a lot. So in other words, and we don't have time to tell you what word of wisdom, word of knowledge is, but in other words, it gives you more than just, oh, I love you and I want to comfort you, I care about you, you know, whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? And again, so there are other gifts, revelation and so forth, and we're going to talk in a little bit about how do you know when one is a prophet and one is not. Okay, so remember, all can be used on occasion as the Spirit wills, but some have the gift. So if you have the gift of prophecy and there's a need for it, you can prophesy. Now, some are more developed in it, some are more comfortable in it, but you can do it. You can just do it. So if, let's say we're in a service and Pastor John, let's say, wants to create an environment and says, I feel the Lord wants to speak. Who's got something? Now, there may be, you know, Reverend Mike might stand up and say, I have something, and he's acknowledged, you know, he's credible, you know, we know he is. But the Lord says, no, there's somebody over here. And let's say five of you have the gift of prophecy. All five of you can come up. Yeah. The same thing happens when sometimes people, Pastor John begins to talk about healing. Everybody who has burning hands, they all sit in the service, burning, their hands start to get hot. Does it mean God wants to use them? No. The gifts will activate each other. Yep. It's letting people know, oh, God wants to heal. And he could use you, but doesn't mean you have to be used. Just like with diverse tongues. If you've got the gift and we want to give a diverse tongue, you know. Now, again, if you have the gift, you need to lean on the Holy Spirit. Do you want to use me? But if you have it, you have it. All right? So I wrote it in this way. Those who have the gift are able to steward the gift. They are responsible then. If a gift is given to you by the Holy Spirit, you are responsible to use it, learn about it, develop it, and give an account for what you did with it. There will be a day when God will say, what did you do with the gifts I gave you? He said, well, I didn't, you know, I buried it, you know, I was scared. You lose reward, the Bible says. Okay, I'm not going to read all the scriptures. That sounds like condemning, but you need to know that God expects you to use your gift and learn about it. Don't be afraid of the gift. When you have the gift, you have the ability and the power to operate in this gift, in your gift, on more than just a few random occasions. You can, and you want environments that hopefully allow for it. Now, some churches may or may not, but you can prophesy at the kitchen table when your friend is hurting. You can prophesy when you're talking on the phone with somebody. In other words, God may just, I'm not talking about giving them a whole message or whatever, like you're preaching to them, but they might be like, Lord, I have that gift. I feel like this person needs a word from the Lord. Yeah. And you can just turn it on. Do you think we need this gift? I don't know about you, but I need it all the time. And you know what? We're not using it enough.
That's right.
We're waiting for Pastor John and a minister to prophesy when that gift is available to every single person in this room in some form or manner.
Amen.
That's why I need to communicate. You all can prophesy, okay? The gift of the prophet. So third level, so we're moving up higher. Third level of prophecy is the gift of the prophet. Now, Ephesians 4:11 and 1 Corinthians 12:28, you can read at home. Talks about, you know, God has appointed in the church first apostles, then prophets and teachers. Ephesians 4:11 talks about the five vocal ministry gifts that God gives to the church. Now, a prophet, so what is it about the prophet? Okay, a prophet has the gift of prophecy. They have it. They can do it. Would you say a prophet ought to be able to speak for God? But, big B-U-T, if you're taking notes, capital B-U-T. But they operate at a greater level of authority,
yes,
ability, and anointing, the triple A. When a person has is a ministry gift, in other words, so there are, in the Greek we talk, they are a doma gift. The person themselves is a gift to the body of Christ or to people. And God wants to use that person. So where that person goes, they carry the gifts with them. And if you reject the person, you don't get the gift. That's why Jesus went to his hometown, for those of you who know. Here he is, miracle worker. They heard about him. He says, who are you? Aren't you Mary? He says he couldn't do a thing. So if you reject the person, if you don't honor the person with the gift, it's kind of like you don't like the package. You don't get what's inside the package. So we can't look at the package and people. We need to say, this person, the Spirit of the Lord rests on them. I don't care what they look like. I'm not interested. And that is not to say character doesn't count. I want the gift. You are a gift to me. Make a demand. The Bible says that he who receives a prophet, Book of Matthew, didn't write it down, but in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Vice versa, he who does not honor or receive the prophet will not receive the prophet's reward. God won't speak. And the thing you need, and I'm telling you, God loves to, he knows exactly what you're thinking. He says, so I'm going to bring this little bald man to church, and he's a prophet. And you come, yeah, I don't like him, you know, I don't know if he votes Republican or I don't. And we're starting, a little short, not my kind of guy. What does he know? And yet in him is your answer. And he's able to speak at a level that you need because the gift in him operates at a higher level of authority. When a prophet, a developed prophet, or a prophet that is recognized, when I say authority, it seems like God is in the room. Yep. You know, it's like, well, other people can give the gift, but I mean, God is talking. You will sense an authority that comes from that gift. So they carry a greater measure of authority. Ability, they can do it. They can do it, their eyes closed. I mean, they can, you know, they can just like, they have the ability, they can just do it whenever it's needed. And anointing. Anointing is what? The presence of the Holy Spirit, all the gifts and all the wonderful things that he does to heal us and help us. So that's the first thing in recognition of a prophet. So you can have the gift of prophecy and not be a prophet or prophetess. And there are many people who feel, and you can have that gift and flow in it consistently and not be a prophet or prophetess. All right? But a prophet has that. Number two. Now, I believe Kenneth Hagin, another sign of someone is a prophet. Now, Kenneth E. Hagin wrote this in his book, and I happen to believe it. This person has the gift of prophecy plus at least two of the revelation gifts found in 1 Corinthians 2. Operating on a regular basis in their lives. Now, when I say the revelation gifts, again, we don't have time to talk about it, but we're talking about the word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discernings of spirits. They have at least two operating regularly along with the gift of prophecy. So you can have the gift of prophecy, but you know, occasionally get used in word of knowledge, which is, you know, information where God supernaturally gives you information about the past or the present. So when Pastor John prophesies with a word of knowledge, it can be in any way. He can say, when I gave the example, there's someone right here who had a car accident 3 days ago. Well, how would he know that? That's a word of knowledge, and God is going to use him to speak. He's using him as a prophet to speak or to prophesy with a word of knowledge along with that prophecy, okay? Or if he says, the Lord tells me or shows me that, you know, in 2 days you're going to become a millionaire. How many of you want that prophecy from a legitimate prophet, all right? So be in the right place at the right time. Ooh, I want that one. That would be a future prediction. That would be a word of wisdom, and you have to act wisely. Whenever you get a prediction, I know, my Lord, whenever you get a prediction, you have to act wisely today. Some predictions are conditional, and some are not. Some require you to do something for it to come to pass. And some are unconditional. They're going to happen. Sometimes God reveals something in prayer that something bad's going to happen, and the church prays, and it doesn't happen. That you did exactly what you were supposed to do. So a word of wisdom can come, and it can be conditional, but you acted a certain way and stopped it. We can say a lot more, but we must move on. Prophecy of Scripture, 2 Peter, let's turn to that. This is the highest level of prophecy, is prophecy of Scripture. That means the Bible, the Word of God. How many of you know the Bible was not written in English? And so you have to judge your English Bible. Compare it to the original language. So 2 Peter 1, verse 20 to 21. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Notice, prophecy of Scripture. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. So in your Bible, you didn't, the people who wrote the Bible didn't say, oh, you know, I think I like that story. I'll write it down today. They were moved. The Holy Spirit said, write it this way. Now he used their personality. He used the style of where they were. In other words, if they were, shepherds, they might use, imagery of shepherd. But the point I'm trying to say is the Bible is non-negotiable. It is the perfect word of God. So if it is, here are the rules. Every level, 1 in 3 above, is imperfect. The spirit of prophecy can be imperfect. The gift of prophecy can be imperfect. And the prophet can be imperfect. But this is perfect. So if it's perfect, everything must be judged and tested by the perfect. Okay? So if I had a ruler and we agreed that the ruler was 12 inches, we agreed that was the perfect standard, and then we brought 10 people here, and it says, how far do you think, how many feet is it from here to here? We could guess all we want, and we could all be wrong. But if we took the ruler, right, and we measured it, oh, gosh, well, you were right, you were wrong, you were off. Everything has to be tested and measured with the Word of God. Everything, everything. So if that's the case, let's read this. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 and 12, you can read it later, basically says, we know and prophesy in part. So when you prophesy, even if it's about the future, or God shows you something, you don't know everything. Only God is all-knowing. And also, if you see things about the person or whatever, and you're telling them what you see, it says we see things imperfectly. There you go. I want to speak in another tongues or something. So if that's the case, so here we go. If we have to be aware of this and allow for the fact that sometimes we will get it wrong, or some part of it will be wrong, even though we're convinced we're giving the prophecy that it's absolutely correct, we feel chilled, we felt the angels, we felt the power of God flowing, we have to allow all prophecies to be tested and judged, because human error or false prophecies are potentially present. I spoke at length about this, but I know that the Lord had me re-put it on your sheet, because we want to make sure that you understand the three sources of prophecy, spiritually speaking. The Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is there, that's the true and genuine article, right? But when you're giving your prophecy, you can give a prophecy that sounds like God, but it didn't come from God. And I gave an example last week about, if I feel, come on here, Ali Raisa, come on. I gave an example. I'm going to do a quickie here. Ali Raisa is my best friend, and, and I'm going to this conference, and I really wanted her to go with me, and she said, no, I feel like the Lord wants me to stay home and pray and fast. Well, I'm not convinced she heard from God, so I'm going to prophesy. But it's coming. Can you see that? I can make it. Well, the Lord tells me that you need to come, and you're going to miss out on God, and, it's going to be powerful. Now, I may say all the right things, but it was for me, not her. So you can prophesy just out of your own imagination and desire. And it can be all in there. Or it can be an evil spirit. And you can, without even knowing it, part or word or piece could be from a false, you just picked it up. Kind of how many of you know, if you were in a room and, you don't smoke, like I don't smoke, and I was trained as a physical therapist, and I did home care for a long time. And, I would tell my clients, I'm coming. If you're smoking, I'm going to ask you to please respect my wishes. But you know what? Even if I went into the home and they didn't smoke, what happened when I went out? I smelled like smoke. It gets on you, stuff. So you can pick things up without – I know you're thinking, well, never me. Yes, you. And the example is here about Peter. All right. I wanted to do a quick illustration. So I need, who wants to volunteer? I need 5 people. Come on up, quick. 5. Just 5 people. Come on. Come on up. 5. Come up. Oh, you don't know what I'm doing. Come on up. Any five. Once we have five, we're done. Okay, great. Come on up. That's good. One, two. Okay, three, four, five. Can everybody see three here, two there? All right. I'm going to give you this thing here. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you my organic honey. Ooh. Oh, I think, you know what? I think I'm going to give this to you. And Tina, I'm going to give you this. Ooh. Look, did you see her eyes? I wish we had a camera. All right. I was going to do something different, but because of time. I'm going to take my little, everybody can see my little green straw?
Yes.
All right. Now, if I wanted to drink, all right, from this thing here. Now, what is that, brother? Vegetable oil. Now, even if I had a lot of water and I threw a little vegetable oil and I drank from a glass, would the water be contaminated and would have the effect? Yeah, okay. Why? Because even though the water might be pure in a glass, if there's vegetable oil, it just is not the same. How many of you like water with vegetable oil? I know some people drink crazy things these days, you know. All right. Now, this is an unopened, what is it?
Water.
Doesn't that look good? It says it's from the springs, natural, 100% natural spring water. Now, how many of you know that even this water isn't 100% pure? How many heard the recent report that if it's in plastic, it leaches in there? All right. So this is not 100%. We got organic, creamy, raw honey. This is the person who says, you need this. I'm going to prophesy for you a little bit of God and a little bit of me because you need this. So if I, even if, you know, it's a little bit liquid on the top when it's warm, what if I put a little honey in the water? It would taste, wouldn't it taste sweet? It'd be pretty good. But it wouldn't be pure water. And sometimes that's what we do. Now, sister, what do you have here?
Vinegar.
Did you, anybody see here? Vinegar. Now, this is the enemy. This is the evil spirit over here. Because this one's going to pour it in with no water. It's going to look like water.
Yeah.
Can you see this?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to look like water. I'm going to say, oh, okay, I guess I'm supposed to take this in. And you are messed up, screwed up for a long time. This would be the version of prophesying from evil spirit.
Amen.
Now, can I combine all of them, try to make a mix and put lots of honey in it? Yeah. Now, this is the one you're supposed to be drinking out of. This is the word of God. Can you see that?
Amen.
Without that, all that stuff, I don't care how nice it is, how good it is, I can cook with it, I can add, I can be refreshed with it. The word of God is the only way to go. All right, give me my Bible, put my stuff, give it to the people up front. Thank you very much. We're capable of doing it of doing things while we prophesy because you're human and you're imperfect. So the vessel through which God wants to prophesy through, and he knows it's imperfect. So if that's the case, then what do we need to do? We need to judge it. All right, let's take a look at some points, and then we're going to have a time of prophecy. Now, I do want to say, it is 8:20. We probably are going to go a little bit, 10 minutes past. It's always a 10, 15 minutes grace period. How many of you know that? We're going to use it tonight. I need to go through the points. There's a few things I just need to share. If you have to go when we begin to prophesy, because we got to demonstrate, and I believe God wants to speak words to you from people who literally, legitimately have that gift. I want you to see how it works. There are things that help the gift, and there are things that hinder the gift. But remember, eagerly desire to see the gift operate. It's got to be faith. There's got to be hunger and desire for it. That's the first thing. You won't see the gift operate in you if you have no desire for the gift. Number two, we are told to prophesy in proportion to our faith. Don't step outside your lane. Don't try to do something you've never done and put yourself out there, expose yourself. I'm the prophet to so-and-so. I'm going to think I am. And, you know, sometimes you have to start by faith. There may be no special feeling or prompting. If you have the gift and you want to be used, sometimes you just have to take a risk. You know, you just take a risk. And remember, only say what you believe is coming from God, even if it's just one word. The Lord, like this, the Lord told me to tell you, no. Excuse me? Thus says the Lord, no. Well, what do you mean? What does no mean? The Lord wants you to know no. If no is all I've got, yeah, I don't want to go, well, you know, the Lord wants to tell you no, but he understands that you really want it. And
it's good.
Can you see that? That's how we feel. Like, well, that's not enough. If all you have is one word, just say, the Lord gives me this one word. I feel it's coming out of my spirit for you. Just give one word. Don't try to twist it, add to it, change it, you know, even if it doesn't make sense for you. Okay. While prophecy can be one of the most encouraging and faith-building forms of hearing from God, it can and is dangerous, okay? But to encourage a culture of prophecy, this is what you need to do. You have to teach and emphasize the responsibility of the hearer to discern for themselves whether it is from God or not. So the best way to do it is if you prophesy anything, you tell the person every time, I could miss it, I believe it was from God, please test and judge it. And go on your way. Be humble enough to actually say that to people. Even if I'm telling you it looks like all heaven was moving. It's the right thing to do, and the Bible it tells us to do that. Because if people would do that, then you'd get more prophecy. But people are afraid of prophecy. Well, I don't know. God made, you know, I don't know. Okay, so the simple gift of prophecy does not come with prediction. Remain humble and teachable. After prophesying, always pray that, you know, anything that, Lord, whatever, if I said something that just was off the wall or didn't come from you or sounded good, let it fall to the ground and die. Let it not take root. Let this person forget it. Take the responsibility yourself. Tell the person to go judge it, but you yourself do the right thing and say, Lord, I may have missed it. It sounded like you, but I'm asking you to remove anything or cancel anything that I said that was not of you. Now, if you make a mistake and miss it, and you can, right? In word or in the manner that you deliver it. Do not become discouraged and give up. Learn from it, continue to grow, and sharpen your prophetic skills. Let me give you some examples of what I mean about manners of delivery that are not good, okay? Some people change their voice to sound super spiritual. All right, we had a lot of laughter there, so you must have heard that or been used by it or did it yourself. Like some people just feel like, okay, I'm gonna sound like God, you know, or get, I don't know, just, you know, I'm not saying, because, you know, the anointing can be on you, and really, you can. People can become bold as a lion, little humble people that quiet, all of a sudden, they're like, all right. But I'm just saying, don't do it out of your own flesh. All right, that's what I'm saying. How about some people scream or yell out a prophecy as if you can't hear? You know, as if God from heaven has, you know, just bash you with it. You know, and yeah, sometimes, again, the anointing is strong on a person. Don't take this wrong. But just, it's not necessary, okay? It's not necessary. I see that, Adam. Some prophecies should be given in private. Just because it's a gift and it's public there, you know, it doesn't mean, okay, you over here, let's put you in front of the whole church. The Lord shows me this and tells me this about you. You know, you need to discern, ask God, walk in love. Yes. Is this the most loving thing to do? Some prophecies, some people prophesy and look around and see if they are getting attention and recognition. They want to be seen. They may have the gift, but they're using the gift also to say, look at me. Can you see I'm important? Yeah. Oh, everybody, can you see me? All right. Some try to exert control through prophecy. That's a big one. Because when you can sound like God, you can tell people anything.
Yes.
God has spoken, okay? Some people tell you they are prophet and prophetesses before they prophesy, and then they demand that you follow and do whatever they say. That's not right, okay? And again, you never use prophecy to condemn and criticize. Understand that you or others can flow comfortably and consistently in the gift of prophecy and not be a prophet or prophetess. I do want us to turn to Acts 21 very quickly. I want you to see this because I could, all right? You can prophesy and not be, I mean, I'm talking about comfortably, consistently in every way and not be. And again, or you are one, but here's what I would say to you as you're turning there. When you are a Doma gift or you are a ministry gift, first of all, let God reveal it to leadership for you. Let God reveal it. Notice I said to leadership. John the Baptist recognized that you are Jesus, the Messiah, and you want me to what? John was a prophet. Jesus said, yep, it's the right thing. I'm going to submit to you. And you are going to let everybody know that I'm the one. Think about that for a moment. Jesus waited until John said, this is the Lamb of God. I am recognizing it because, God, I'm getting revelation from God. This is the one we've been waiting for. Jesus said, look at me. That was a temptation in the desert. Satan said, you know, why don't you throw yourself down and prove you're God? He waited until an established minister recognized him and put him in that office. Now, again, if you have the gift, God wants you to be using the gift. And sometimes ministers take a long time to recognize you. But can I tell you, a lot of times you're being recognized because it will leak out of you in every way in love. If you've got the gift, it's going to flow. You don't have to wait all the time. People will recognize there's something more there. Let that happen. Don't rush it. Calling and separation oftentimes happen at different times. If you're called to be a prophet, prophetess, a teacher, or whatever, I'm talking about as a minister, let God do what he needs to do, and then there'll be a time when you're separated to that. That's just the wisdom of God. I could say a lot more about that, and I understand because, you know, those of us, I work with ministers, and it could be you're pregnant with it. How come nobody can see this? How come nobody can see me? God sees you, and it's just not time. It's not time. Just what it is, serve, love, wash feet, because Jesus loves to test us. Are you willing to do the little things? If you're not willing to do what is another man's, you will not be given what is your own. That will quicken the process right there. What did I tell you to do? Okay, Acts 21 is just because I want us to read this part. Did I say verse 8? Did I tell you which verse? Yeah, verse 8 to 10. On the next day, we, meaning Paul and his companions, who were Paul's companions, departed and came to Caesarea, entered the house of Philip the evangelist. So here it is, in the Holy Spirit, through Luke, is telling us about something that occurred in Caesarea. He mentions Philip as a ministry gift, the evangelist. That's interesting. Who was one of the seven and stayed with him. Verse 9. Now this man, Philip, had four virgin daughters who prophesied. They just said they prophesied. They have four virgin daughters who prophesied. Now we had Philip the evangelist. We have four daughters who prophesied. And then it goes on. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Now we got the very third verse. We got a man named Agabus who is recognized as a prophet. The four daughters, we don't know, but based on my own understanding, would say we're not prophetesses. Because they're right in between a ministry gift, evangelist, and a ministry gift, prophet, but in between, they prophesied. Can you see that? You can prophesy and not be called the ministry gift. So I just felt like, you know, and there's some other verses, but I just want to say that to some of you. And I know some of you might be feeling, oh my God, I thought I was, you know, it's okay. Just be faithful and be blessed. Since God is not a God of confusion, everyone in the church is instructed to be a good steward of their gift and to do things decently and in order. This is huge. For turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Now, 1 Peter 4:10 says that whatever gift you have, steward it and do things with the supply of the Spirit. Right? With the supply of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:29, I just feel like we should look at it very briefly. Again, we're going to probably go a little longer. If you have to leave, just do it in love and excuse yourself, okay? Because I do want to take 10 minutes, so I'm going to just finish for 3-4 minutes here, and then we're going to take 10 minutes and we're going to flow a little bit here. I'm going to invite certain people to come up. 1 Corinthians 14. Now, this is in the middle of instructions about keep silent. Keep silent in the church if this is occurring. Keep silent in the church if there's no interpretation. Keep silent in the church if you're in, women are talking back and forth. Keep silent. So it says here, verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak and let the others judge. That's interesting. If you're in the church service, let's say you have three prophets. Two or three speak and let the other judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, another prophet who's sitting by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. I know it's a lot of verses, but what I'm trying to say is even prophets in the church have to follow protocol. So if you're not a prophet and you're not a ministry gift and you're just moving in that gift, there are guidelines for you as well. All right. Any spiritual gift We're going to next point, including prophecy that operates without love will be abused, misused, confused, underused, or refused.
Yeah.
Love must be in any gift that you use, or else you're messing yourself up or you're messing somebody else up. I'm just going to say it. That's Pascal Williams' version. It's just not. So something is missing. Diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues is equal to prophecy. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:5, you can read that. In other words, somebody gives a diverse tongues in public, it's interpreted in public, and it's a message. It will bring edification, exhortation, and comfort. It's the same as prophecy. You can read it. Certain conditions and environments can increase or invite a greater flow of prophecy. So, in 1 Corinthians, you can read it later, but basically, when a person found themselves among a whole bunch of prophets who were prophesying, all of a sudden that person who never prophesied began to prophesy. If you're around people who can do it, you can just, it comes on you. You can read about it. Certain songs, if you have the gift, can actually stir up the gift. Elisha, you know, was called on as a prophet, and he says, get the minstrel. And as the minstrel began, the hand of the Lord came, and he was able to prophesy to Jehoshaphat and his companions. So certain, sometimes, for example, people with the gift of prophecy, as they get close to you, all of a sudden the word of the Lord comes. Or certain people are highlighted to them as you are near. Like people that live way far. If you're sitting 10,000 feet away and I need to prophesy, I might, but I may be more personal if the person is close because they're making a demand and I'm like, they're pulling. Like the woman, how many know the woman of the issue of blood had to make contact?
Yes.
So there's something also about coming to church. Yes, the pastor can prophesy online because he's a prophet, but there ought to be prophecy in the body. Coming where the gifts are available will actually stir up gifts, and you can make a demand. I need encouragement today. How many of you have come to church and like, Lord, and you're thinking it has to come from the platform? After this group, this workshop, guess what you're going to do? Wherever who's got the gifts,
amen.
Here I am. Can I tell you? Watch what happens. All of a sudden, somebody will look at you and they're like, why do you got something for me? I do. And they'll be surprised, and it'll be the word of the Lord. We ought to be open for that. All right. Interpretations are from the Lord. Oh, we should never merchandise. You can't sell prophecy. I got to do this one real quick. Oh, my gosh. You don't sell gifts from God. $10, I'll give you a good prophecy. Never, never. Nor do you ever want people to become dependent on you. Like, you can't make decisions until you hear, God speaks to me through you. You have to come to me before you make any decisions. So that is not good either.
Amen.
Before they hear from you, they ought to be spending time with God. So if you have that gift and they haven't been spending time with God, just say, you know what, I'm going to hold. I think you need to go spend time with the Lord and see what the Lord tells you. And maybe I'll confirm or whatever. All right? So what I'm going to have do is you come up. And Reverend Mike and Teresa and Reverend Leanne, I'm a little bit kind of, you come up. I'm so sorry. She's not invisible. Now, these are established leaders in the church. So I know that he operates all the time. That gift. All right. How often, where's our mic? Because I want you to, because we're going to do something. How often do you operate in the gift?
If I'm praying for someone, usually, and it's with the word of knowledge.
Yeah. Now, this is a man who will be cleaning his bathroom and call me.
That's right.
This is, right?
Minding my own business, and all of a sudden, bam, it just gets
out. Yeah, or whatever. I'm just saying that gift to go talk to someone or tell somebody someone. How does that gift operate in you?
A lot of times with prayer meetings or teaching, you know, the end of teaching, before teaching, that kind of thing.
While people are teaching, God is talking. So it doesn't have to be this separate thing. It can operate while somebody's teaching. Reverend Mike.
Praying for people one-on-one and in groups, but also even in the lobby, sometimes in conversation. You can say stuff that people need unconsciously.
Amen. Yeah, you can walk by and say, oh, the Lord tells me to tell you, you look great today. Or you might even say, the Lord said, you just said something and that person felt lifted up. So I'm going to ask them to do something. Now, they are trained, and I'm going to ask them to do something. Now, I want you sitting there, and I want you to make a demand. Now, I know they're like, oh, what does that mean? Okay. They are able to operate in that gift, And I would say that from my understanding, just from my own information, he's going to be like wanting to give 30 people something because he can go anywhere. But the instruction is go where the Lord highlights you and give that person a prophetic word. Okay? So I'm going to... You already know. So you go. You go. Go do what you have to do. And I'm going
to
be letting... You know what? You stay right there. I'm going to follow you. Because I want you to see and watch what happens. This woman right here.
How you doing, sister? I'm going to read a scripture to you. And then, so this has been percolating while Pastor Pascal has been speaking. And you were highlighted to me. And the Lord says, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the Lord says this, don't try to compare yourself to others, for I've put this gift in you, and it's activated by the love that you have for others. The Lord says that I use things that others might see as foolish, but I've put something within you that's powerful, and it's activated by the love that you know that I have given to you. And as you open your mouth from this day forth, the Lord will empower you with love through the words that you speak, that the words that I give to you, that the words that I fill your mouth with will be put forth through your mouth towards the ears of another. For the gift that I've placed within you of prophecy will be there for you to minister to the broken, those who are the suffering, those who feel like nobody sees them. I will use you, the one that's been in the shadows, to come forth into the light to bring relief and love and transformation to those who are crying out to me. And I will use you, my daughter, because you know what love is all about.
Amen. All right. Now notice, John, come here. Notice that John initially said, I have something for you. He was speaking as John. And all of a sudden he speaks like he was God in the first person. And so sometimes the prophecy, you can flow. The Lord shows me or tells me to tell you, or you can say, I am your father and I am your mother. I'm a woman. I'm going to say, I am your father and I love you. So you could be used as speaking from as the first person.
Can I say something?
Yes.
So, you know, all I knew that I had to say was the only one sentence came to me, don't compare yourself to others. And then as I was going, I just felt it like go deeper. And all of a sudden, that's why I started to crouch down, because I got into another place where I didn't even realize that you guys were in the room. It was kind of just me and what was your name, sister? Denise. Just one-on-one. But then God was using me as a vessel to speak to her so that she could speak to others.
Are there certain things that stir up your gift environments or situations?
Well, knowing that we were coming, I was prepared tonight. But then the other times, like Mike said, could be you're just in a scenario when you're in a room and all of a sudden, I just know I have something. Or like you talked about, I was just minding my business, washing my bathroom floor, and Pascal came on my mind. And all of a sudden, as soon as I started to kind of think of her, all of a sudden something came to me and I knew I had to call her. You know what I mean? So it operates and it comes in different ways.
That's right. Okay, I'm going to ask... Who is being, is anybody highlighted to any of you? Okay, go. And then, all right.
Okay.
So just another 5 minutes or so. Go ahead. I'm going to let her go and come back.
Hallelujah. Hi. The Lord pointed you out to me, and he says, the time for sorrow is no more. It's time to break that off and to let it go. And to let him comfort you in this. It's done. You gotta let it go. Under the blood, washed away by the blood of Jesus. He never left you. He's seen every situation, heard every word that was said. And he wants you to know tonight that he spotted you tonight to let you know, I am here. I'm here. I have not left you. I've heard the cry of your heart. It's a time for healing for you. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Reverend Mike, is there anyone or any of you? Anyone highlighted? Okay, Torrance sisters, why don't you come up? Come on, Torrance sisters, Dinelle and Diane. Yeah, come on up. Okay. Now we're going to do this, and then we're going to dismiss you. And we'll see if anybody else has anything. But we're going to just close in prayer, and I'm going to tell you go. Okay. Well, did you want all the all of them? Okay, come on up. But I'm also saying to you while I'm coming up, remember, you don't have to wait. You can be used, but also you can make a righteous demand. You need to be encouraged. You need to be comforted. Lord, I just need your word. Now, don't try to force someone to give it, but just say, Lord, those with the gift of prophecy, I just make a righteous request for that as I come to church because I need the body. Okay? All right, Reverend Mike.
Verse in 1 Timothy, it talks about the faith of Timothy's grandmother and down the household line, and you guys have that. And it's like a solid foundational rock of agape, and, which is rare in ministers in these days, humility, real humility. And it's all throughout your family. It's like a beautiful thing to behold if you've known the Torrance family as long as we have. And I'm boasting on the Lord in that household because he's permeated everyone. And you guys have so much to give, but sometimes that humility becomes what the world calls self-effacing, which means you minimize what's in you because you're loaded. You guys are loaded for bear. And I'm going to say something to you first. You have a tremendous sensitivity and gentleness with mercy, and that sensitivity is there, and it can be easily wounded, but you've got to forgive by faith and keep plotting on and preaching and prophesying and exhorting, because that foundation agape is sensitive, but it's also sensitive to hurt. But you gotta stir yourself up this fall and let the flowers and flow open in Jesus' name. You have an anointing of joy, and there's, it's like an oil in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for her. We thank you for our sister, Lord, that her face is radiant like the sun. And everywhere she goes, are you still driving that asphalt roller, huh? I just see like the sunshine going forth. And you're a witness, so stir that up even further and speak to it and say, I'm radiant for Jesus today. I'm radiant for Jesus today. The whole thing, the whole story with you three is you have so much. And sometimes you hide it a little bit because of that. You were trained not to be showy. And it's precious the way you were trained, because I see your folks, and your folks were so beautiful. I hardly knew them, but there was something so fantastic foundationally there. And your dad, when I saw him and met him, I didn't even get to know him. I knew him after the Spirit. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for this gift is called to stand with ministers and pray, support, like a pillar in the house and where she's at. Everywhere she's at, she's like a foundational pillar and been underappreciated, but the Lord sees every bit of it, Dinell. So stretch your hand toward this group. Say, in the name of Jesus, this is a household of faith. This is a strong foundation of agape and humility. We call for the gifts of God. We fan the gifts of God in these households. In the name of Jesus, we fan the gifts of God in Dinell to prophesy and to pray. We fan the gifts of mercy with cheerfulness in the name of Jesus. We fan the gifts of God. Is she all right?
She's okay.
We fan the gifts of God of mercy with cheerfulness in the prophetic healing ministry. We fan the gifts of God of exhortation and prophecy and increase in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to give it to T.
All right. What we're going to do is there might be some more ministry. Again, we'll talk, explain what just happened. You're like, oh, no, she's fine. She yielded because she was experiencing the presence of the Lord. We're going to go ahead and have them continue. I know I'm stopping, but notice that it went from prayer to exhorting. Can you see that they all have different ways of expressing? The same thing will be with you. Don't try to copy others. Just begin to say, Lord, use me. I want to be a blessing. And I also want to be blessed when I'm in the house of the Lord. So, Father, we just thank you for tonight. There was a lot of things said and done. I just pray for your people, Lord, to be used in mighty ways for your purposes, Father. that let them be light in a dark world, because man is hopeless everywhere. But the word of the Lord comes to give us strength and hope and comfort, build us up, and encourage us to do what is right in your sight. So, Father, as we go tonight, let everybody sleep like babies tonight. Let the presence of the Lord be all over us. In Jesus' name, amen.